I invite you to turn with me now to Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking especially at verses 8 through 20, focusing in on the shepherds in that account. And this morning, if you were here, you'll recall that we were in the first seven verses thinking about Christ born of Mary, the providence of God in bringing him to Bethlehem and under the Roman Empire, down to those little details of the manger and the swaddling cloths and no room in the inn. And this evening, we want to pick up in the next section. So Luke chapter 2, and very briefly, let me say this evening, thinking about the shepherds, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 2. And first, let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, would you please stand and shepherd your flock now in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord your God. Grant that as we hear your voice speaking to us in the power of the Holy Spirit from the text of Holy Scripture, we might dwell secure, that we may see that you are great to the ends of the earth, and that you will indeed be our peace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Will you stand then for the reading of God's word, again, beginning of verse 8 of chapter 2, down through verse 20. This is the holy, inspired, and inerrant word of God. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Now, as we think about the different cast of characters, the different people that are involved in the events surrounding Jesus' birth, we've noted Caesar Augustus, we've noted the governors, Quirinius and Herod, and we've seen Joseph and Mary, his betrothed wife. And if you've seen any children's Christmas production, then you've always seen those collection of shepherds standing there in their father's bathrobes, gathered around the manger scene. And we talked a little bit about some of the problems of those scenes this morning. But the shepherds are given the announcement that the Christ has been born. And the question that we should ask, and maybe we don't, but I'll ask it for us, and we'll think about it briefly tonight. The question we want to ask this evening is, why in the world did the angels make this announcement to the shepherds at all? Why not to the priests? Or those with influence and a platform in society? Why not to the kings and governors? We've talked about those, some authority, maybe even at least the magistrate of Bethlehem. Why in the world did the angels come to the shepherds out in their fields at night? For one, the character of shepherds at the time of the New Testament was in great question. In fact, the reputation of shepherds throughout biblical history kind of ebbed and flowed and over the years. But at the time of the New Testament, at the time of Jesus' birth, they were considered at the lowest rung of human society. In fact, they were officially numbered along with tax collectors and those who shoveled manure. That was the shepherd class. Now, that wasn't always the case. You know that. The reputation of shepherds at the beginning wasn't that bad. And the earliest genealogies in Genesis, for example, chapter 4, talks about Jabal, the father of those living in tents and raising livestock. And that becomes Israel's history for centuries. They were nomadic people. And in these tribes, as you traveled around, whether you were the sheik, you know, you ruled over that tribe, or you were the poorest member of that tribe, you were all involved with flocks, raising flocks of some kind. And it was a common and respected trade at that point. The sons of Isaac and Jacob, they tended flocks. Moses' father, Jethro, remember the interesting note about him, that he even had his daughters out shepherding the sheep. At that time, the role of shepherd was respected. It was hard work, but respected in society. But then the people of Israel migrate into Egypt. They needed to. It was God's providence to them. But they encountered there in Egyptian culture and Egyptian thought a real hostility against shepherds. Now, why might that be? Well, the Egyptians were farmers. Maybe you know about that conflict between farmers and shepherds. But the farmers didn't think too much of shepherds. And in fact, Joseph in Scripture told his brothers, all shepherds are detestable to Egyptians. And so it's interesting to think about the conflict that naturally rose between farmers and shepherds. Farmers would have seen the shepherds with their grazing flocks as a threat to their trade, to their crops, their crops they've worked so hard for. It's interesting to think back to the first murder in Scripture. It was a murder between a farmer and a shepherd. The farmer hated the shepherd, who also happened to be his brother, and hated him so much he killed him. And there's been that kind of conflict between shepherds. Now, the Egyptians certainly hated them. Scripture records that. The neighboring nations around Egypt, the Arabs around Egypt were shepherds, and they didn't get along. In fact, it was one of the embarrassing aspects of Egyptian history that the shepherd kings, some of these Arabs, actually took over Lower Egypt and ruled Lower Egypt. And so the people of Israel go to Egypt. They're around the Egyptians, who have a great disdain for shepherds. And they're there for 400 years. And the people of Israel begin to lose their appreciation for shepherds. One commentator suggests that when they finally did settle in Canaan after leaving Egypt, the tribes that had the most interest in shepherding, well, they were across the Jordan. And those settling in the nation settled in towns and became more involved in farming. Shepherding became more and more a menial task that was looked down upon. Now, the ebb and flow. Again, it didn't change until about 1000 BC when, what happened then? David became king. And God took him, a lowly shepherd who wasn't even worth considering, right? David, a lowly shepherd. But God took him, the despised, the outcast, if you will, and raised him to the highest level in the land. And so for a period of time, the role of shepherd became a little more appreciated and prominent in society. But then we move to the time of the prophets. And you'll remember in the language of some of the prophets that the coming Messiah is seen as the good shepherd, and they have bad shepherds leading the people astray. But the prophets also talk about God's judgment on the nation, and that when it falls on them, they are going to be just like those places where the shepherds dwell. And like the sheep pens that are foul and a stench, you know, maybe not as bad as raising pigs, but not much higher than that. Well, by the time of the New Testament, this low stature of shepherd is confirmed, universal in society. One New Testament scholar says that the shepherds were despised in everyday life. They were considered second class and untrustworthy. Certainly some of them earned that reputation. But some of them were just stereotyped into being, you know, lousy people, whether they were or weren't. Even the religious leaders, who remember Scripture earlier in some places talks of them as having a shepherding role, even the religious leaders of the day maligned the shepherds. The rabbis banned them from being within a certain distance of the towns, and their pastures had to be certain distances away. Shepherds couldn't be around the towns. The Jewish written record, the Mishnah, refers to shepherds in belittling terms, calls all shepherds incompetent. But it goes beyond that and says that no one should feel obligated to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. So yeah, it's not a very appreciated role in society. Shepherds were deprived of civil rights. They couldn't hold judicial office, but they couldn't even be admitted as witnesses in court. Because no one trusted them, sort of a saying came about that you might apply to different situations, but a saying that said, don't buy something from a shepherd, because they assumed it was stolen property. And so by the time the Christ comes, born of Mary, placed in a manger, It's actually a scandal to many in the Jewish community that Psalm, this Psalm that may be your favorite in all of Scripture, that Psalm 23 was in the Bible. That was a bit scandalous. And certainly a scandal that David should have begun as a shepherd, a lowly shepherd. How in the world could that be the case when shepherds were these menial, wicked, despised people that you might as well just leave in the pit? And yet it was to the shepherds that the heavenly announcement of God the Father came. And it is significant that it came to them because Jesus, as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to at all costs, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in appearance as a man, being found in appearance as a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not only did he become man, condescending to us in that way, but he submitted himself to the most humiliating and degrading death that man at that time could endure. And so it is significant and interesting that even from his very birth, Jesus walked among the lowly. And it was to the lowly, despised shepherds in the Hickville of Bethlehem that the birth announcement of the Son of God was first proclaimed by angels from heaven. It's a boy. And what God the Father was doing through the message of the angels that night was saying to the shepherd, it's a boy, but certainly saying so much more. He's the Christ, the Messiah, and Lord. Jesus himself would go on in his earthly ministry to be criticized for mingling with these kinds of people, the outcasts, the publicans, the sinners, the tax collectors. Indeed, Jesus said, it's not the righteous that I've come to call, but sinners. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And Jesus, the Son of God, he himself took on the label of shepherd in that society. And in John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says to them, I am the good shepherd. And many would have thought, how could those words even go together? But he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And later on, other writers will refer to Jesus as the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. But you see, there's perhaps no better illustration of how tenderly God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit interact with you and me than the fact that he willingly took upon himself this role of our shepherd. We were lost and dirty and foul sheep indeed. Now, after the New Testament, the word bishop and elder and shepherd take on similar meanings, and what that word communicates in Scripture is the role of those offices, the role that Jesus took when he comes and visits us and leads us. And it's more than a title, shepherd, it's a role. And the role that he performs is he comes and he visits his people, and he shepherds his flock, and he tends his flock. That's what Christ does for you. And you, the lost sheep, in your weakness, in your sin, your suffering, the difficulties that we face, Jesus Christ is your good shepherd. He's your chief shepherd. And he comes and he visits you. He visits his people. And you and I, as we think about his arrival, as we think about the incarnation, especially this time of year, we need to think about how Jesus went not to the rich and the elite, but he chose to herald the Messiah's birth to the lowest, to the humble, to the despised, to the outcast. Mary herself said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And the question I put to you to think about is, can you voice those words? Do you understand? Do you understand how desperately you needed the Good Shepherd to come to you? Can you say with Mary, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant? And I needed him more than anything else. And he came to lift me up. You visited me to restore me. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. And as another hymn writer states it, heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal degree. But of lowly birth didst come to earth, and in great humility, Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And may you and I, by faith, embrace this one who comes to those who humble themselves before him, and who comes with the promise that he will never lose a sheep from his flock, and he will lift you up, and he will bring you to God. May you embrace and love the good shepherd. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so very grateful for the wonder of Jesus' birth and the wonder of his great humility. We reflected on that this morning and again this evening, and how he has come both in a humble manner to suffer a degrading death, and he comes to meet the needs of each of us, lowly sheep, in our humble state, in our needy state, and that there is no need too great that he cannot enter into and meet by his grace. May we, O Lord, love him and see him and glorify him in our hearts and embrace him by faith with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to the glory of your wonderful name. And we ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.